You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ICS Church. My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here. If it's your first time to join us today, it is a joy for us to be with you today. It's the last Sunday of June, and man, we are halfway through the year already. Can you believe it? Well, here we've been doing a sermon series entitled Crossing Over. Crossing Over. So if you want to catch up with our previous episodes, just go back through the playlist. You can watch it on demand here on our Facebook page or on our website. You can go to ics.church and you'll find all of our sermon series there as well. The title for today's message is Desert Oasis and Free Breakfast. How many guys are fans of buffets? Yeah, a lot of those places closed down, but they're reopening up once again. And here in Metro Manila, it's kind of a new thing. You don't go to the food anymore. It's now order all you want. That's how it is now. You have to order it instead of physically getting the food yourself. But hey, I want to talk briefly about this quote that is credited to a guy named Frank Outlaw. He's a businessman, an American businessman, and he said this quote. He says, "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." Do you believe that today? Come on, if you agree with that statement, hit the thumbs up or hit the heart button on your phones or on your laptop, wherever it is that you're watching right now. That's a truth statement, whether you believe it or not. All of us are shaped by our thoughts, our actions that ultimately really reveal or shape our character that becomes our destiny. This is true for everyone. You don't even have to be a Christian to believe this. That's just a truth statement. Here's another truth statement I want to share with you right now. Character is shaped through time and experience. That's kind of encapsulating what was said earlier on, but this is true for all of us. This can mean good experiences, and it can also mean those not so pleasant experiences. In fact, more often than not, it is the negative experience that shape much of the character that we end up possessing. Now, what about time? You just have to be around long enough to know that your character will begin to get shaped. Those of us who live in Asia, and even in continental Africa, you know, this is very valuable for us. Those who are older in terms of age are seen as ones who have better character and wisdom. I mean, that's kind of expected simply because you just have lived longer than most people. And because of that, it follows that through your experience, your character has been shaped by these things. But today we want to even go more specific than this. We want to talk about time and experience as parts of those in helping shape our character. And here's a statement right here. Time and experience in the desert help shape our character. And when we talk about the desert, yes, we're going to refer to the physical desert in a moment, but specifically, this is more symbolic, right? It's time and experience in seasons where it's really a season of dryness in our life, a season where, you know, we're going through difficulty. That is what we're talking about when we talk about the desert experience. It is when we go through those challenging times that our character is also shaped. We're going to look at the life of Israel. This is the story that we've been tracking in this series. It's the story of Israel right after they were set free under slavery from the Empire of Egypt. And so we're going to pick up the story right now after they had crossed the miraculous cross of the Red Sea, and they are now faced with their desert experience. This is found in Exodus chapter 15 in the Old Testament part of your Bible, and we're going to read from verse 22. This is part of the five books called the Pentateuch, which scholars have commonly credited to Moses as being the author. So this includes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the first five books that you will find in the Old Testament. So here in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, "Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved into the desert of Shur." They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. Now, they'd been traveling in the desert. It says there 3 days. And, you know, after 3 days, you're pretty thirsty. They see an oasis. They think, hey, it's time to drink. When they get there, hey, it's too bitter. We can't even drink this. And so they begin to complain to Moses. Moses, why did you bring us here? Right? They begin to complain because the water was too difficult to drink. And really, that's a common response for many of us. When we go through a desert experience, when we go through a challenging time in our life, it's a season of difficulty. The first and natural response for many people is to complain. To complain. Why? But thank God for people like Moses. Because what does he do? He turns to God. And that should probably be the first thing that we should have done. As followers of Jesus, is turn to God, because God can actually do something or even speak into our situation that we're facing. And miracle of all miracles, just like what he did in parting the Red Sea, here he instructs Moses, throw that piece of wood to the water, and voila, you can now drink the water. The bitterness is gone, and the people are able to drink it. The beauty about this is what follows next. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the disease I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So God again declares to them, hey, I am your healer. If you follow me, if you obey me, hey, things will go well with you. And that is exactly what happens. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. So it's amazing, right? You know, God leaves them in the desert. They encounter difficulty. It's a season of bitterness, and you know, you can pick your own situation right now. What was that for you? What was that moment that has become a bitter memory and a bitter experience for you? Was it a relationship experience that just went sour, right? Was it a situation in your workplace, or was it just a personal, private encounter that you went through that you cannot forget, and as a result, this has shaped you to become who you are today? The beauty about this experience is, you know, we can find God in the midst of our bitter experiences. That even in the midst of our situation, God can turn what was bitter into something that is palatable, into something that is good. Come on, if you believe that, hit the heart button, or type amen in the comment. This is what God does. This is his specialty. He can turn bitter situations, difficulties, bad experiences into something that ultimately will bring glory to him and will not be a painful memory for us. Because there are some memories that we continue to have that were bitter at some point, but as we go to God's oasis, as we run into his presence, he has a way of bringing healing to those memories. So that when we return to them, when we remember them at some point in our life, They will no longer bring pain, but just like Mara, it will become a drinkable spring. And when we progress beyond that, we're going to experience the goodness of God. Just like the nation of Israel experienced right here, they eventually move from Mara and they encounter a place not just of one spring, but of 12 springs, palms, and they end up resting in that place. After a season of encounter with God, we're going to find rest. We're going to find a place of fruitfulness in our life. So I want to encourage you in the season that you're going through today, continue to trust in Him, continue to depend on Him, and continue to surrender to Him those bitter experiences in your life, because God can turn it around for good. Moving on from there, they encounter another desert experience. So let's read on. In the next chapter, it says here, then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. There, they arrived there on the 15th day of the month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There, too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. Here we go again. Another round of complaining. If only the Lord killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Man, can you hear them moaning? Can you hear them complaining right now through the scriptures? Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now, tell them, in the evening, you will have meat to eat, and in the morning, you will have all the bread you want. So you want to talk about buffet spread? Here it is. But it's only one thing, right? It's not like multiple dishes. It's just like one dish. But they don't even have to work for it. They don't even have to hunt for it. God says, I'm just going to give it to them without any effort from them. Then you will know, God says, that I am the Lord your God. And so just like what God says, that evening, verse 13, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. Quail's eggs. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost, can you imagine that? As fine as frost, blanketed the whole ground. The Israelites were puzzled because they'd never seen anything like this. The Israelites were puzzled. When they saw it, what is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. Later on, they're going to end up calling this manna, right? They're like frost, powdery stuff that when you bake it, when you cook it, it tastes like wafer honey. Wafer honey. Can you taste it right now? Come on. I want to try that right now. These are the Lord's instructions, he tells them. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a few. Ayan, right? So here, some. Now there are some people who want to hoard. I remember a few months ago when they first said, hey, we're going to be in quarantine, and people packed the groceries and cleaned out the shelves. They're kind of like those people. Right? It's like panic. I'm going to panic because I don't know how long this is going to last, so I'm going to get what I can get. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. So even those people who took more than they should have, they ended up actually just eating what they ended up eating. That was just sufficient. And those people who took just enough, it was just enough for them as well. It says here, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. They thought they actually took a lot, but nope, there was nothing left over after they ate. And those who gathered only a little just had enough. So everybody just had what they needed, even though they thought they took more than they could possibly eat. Then Moses told them, don't keep any of it till morning. This is really important. Listen to this. But some of them didn't listen and kept some until morning. But by then, it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Come on. How many guys have so much food, it's not enough for you to keep it in your fridge? And so by the next day, what happens? Right? It stinks. It's off. Right? It's gone off and you can no longer eat it. Nobody can benefit from it anymore. Right? That's exactly what happened here. He told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So they put some aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. This is the sixth day. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good without maggots or odor. Very different from what they experienced before. The difference was God's instruction. All right? When God told them the first time I read, he said, just take what you need. Those who took more than they needed. The next day, it was off. It got spoiled. It even had maggots. But this time around, the same instruction. It was the sixth day, and on Sabbath day, God said, hey, it's okay for the sixth day. On this day, get a little extra. And the next day, same thing, just like before. But this time around, because it was in accordance to God's instruction, it wasn't spoiled. There were no maggots. And really, this is what God wants. This is how good God is, right? We're going to find here towards the end of this chapter in verse 35, it says there, so the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years. Wow, that's a long time to be eating manna. Just one kind of food. But that's what they did. They ate manna for 40 years until they arrived at the land where they would settle. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now, it's really interesting. The things that we find here, you know, it seems that even in the season of desert, that our desert experience, God will continue to take care of us. That's good news, right? Remember the big idea we talked about earlier? We said that time and experience in the desert help shape our character. Let's look at some of these things right now. The experience of the Israelites in the desert. We need to understand that God allows desert experiences to shape our character, right? Not all the negative things that happen to us is a result of our bad decision, is a consequence of sin. There are times when, yes, it will be. But there are also seasons and times when it is not. Even when you have made all the right decisions, even if you have kept this on the straight and narrow, there will still be times when negativity and bitter experiences will come upon us, right? And the difference is how we respond to it. How we respond to it. How we respond to those experiences will shape our character. It will determine the kind of people that we become. So let's not be too quick to say, "To Lord, remove this bitter experience from me or this difficulty from me." Because God may be allowing that for a purpose. We've been in this pandemic now for several months. And if you're a follower of God, if you're a follower of Jesus, instead of complaining, and I know, like you, we are praying at ICS for this pandemic to end, but at the same time, we also need to ask ourselves, God, what is it that you're wanting me to know? About me? About you? What is it you're wanting to teach me in this season? Because God never wastes an experience. And he will allow us to go through even the most difficult things so that we could know him better, and so that he could shape our character and mold us to become who he wants us to be. For the nation of Israel, that's what he was doing. He was allowing them to go through these challenging times, it says there, to test them, to shape them, to mold them. And as soon as they learned these things, they would become better for it. How we respond in the desert shapes our character. So we also need to be careful about the attitudes and the behaviors that begin to manifest in our life. Because this reveals really what is in our heart. We may say one day that, hey, I follow Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm totally sold out for him. But the moment difficulties comes in, the first thing that leaves our lips are curses, right? Complaints, grumbling, instead of, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm going to seek you instead of going to him in prayer. Then that really reveals our lack of faith in our God. So you can tell just by looking at your own attitude, at your own response to difficulties, what is really filling your heart today. And remember, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in that heart? Check your response. Check your attitude. When difficulties come, not just, you know, dramatic difficulties, but everyday stuff that we go through. You know, sometimes you can tell a lot about your own character based on how you respond to traffic in Metro Manila, which right now we don't really have a lot of. But how did you respond the moment the pandemic hit? Were you frazzled? Were you frantic? Were you filled with anxiety and worry? Were you incapacitated? What happened to you? How did you respond? That reveals really what's in your heart. That reveals what is filling your mind. And if it is not God's presence, if it is not the Holy Spirit that's leading us, if it is not His Word that is filling our hearts and in our minds, we will respond in a way just like the nation of Israel did. Moses, just bring us back to Egypt. It's complaining. It's grumbling. I wish we were just dead instead of saying, what is it, Lord, that you're wanting us to learn? How is it that you're wanting us to respond? Those are moments for us to actually begin to step in faith, to begin to trust in God in ways that we have not known before. I mean, that's what God was wanting them to do, to learn to trust Him, to learn to depend on Him, to learn to call upon His name. Even though He was very evident with them. Remember, God was leading them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. So His presence was very evident. But for whatever reason, they will choose to complain and grumble instead of turning towards God in dependence and in faith. We need to know that in the seasons in the desert, that God is the one who will sustain us. Just like He did to the nation of Israel. Yes, bitterness comes, difficulty comes, but you know what? There will be streams in the desert. And God is the one that provided an oasis for them. A respite, a time to be able to be renewed, even though they have not been taken out of the desert. There were times when we're facing through a difficult relationship, a difficult circumstance in our work, with a disease, with a difficult situation, and it seems it's taking longer than we want. This pandemic is taking longer than many of us would want. But you need to know, and I need to know, and we need to be reminded that even in the midst of this difficulty, God will be the one to sustain us. He will be the one to bring healing to our soul. He will be the one to bring healing even to our disease. You know, that's why we continue to pray in the season for God's miracle of healing to come. And the good news is He is doing that. There are people who are experiencing that, and we give God praise for these things. He remains our sustainer. He remains to be the one to lead us through this difficulty. The amazing thing about this, you know, over the nation of Israel is He provided for them. Even their daily needs, very specific to their needs. And sometimes He even went beyond that. We saw how God provided for their food, gave them water, and later on in Deuteronomy, it says there, Moses writes that for 40 years, their clothes were never worn out and their shoes were never worn out. How are you responding to the difficulties that God has put before you today? This reveals a lot of what's in our heart. And how we respond shapes our character. Let's pray and press in to really seek to become more like Jesus in this season, because that is His desire for us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. And as He promised the nation of Israel, He continues to promise us today. He will be with us even through the season of desert, so that ultimately as we cross over, we will experience God's promises. We will reap the promises that God has spoken over us, just like He did to the nation of Israel and just like he did for us. For some of you, it may mean that provision that you're praying for, that job that you're seeking. For some of you, it may be the healing that you're asking God for. Others, it may be a restoration of relationship, even in your families, in your marriages, between brothers and sisters. Whatever it is, you need to know to continue to depend on God, because he is with you, he is with us every step of the way. Come on and pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you that you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. Lord, every season of our life, you have always been with us every step of the way. Father, help us to be careful about our thoughts, about our attitudes, about what we allow to creep into our hearts so that it will not become bitterness. And in times, Lord, for those of us who are already in that situation of bitterness, Lord, you can turn this around. You can turn those bitter waters of Mara to become drinkable water that could satisfy our souls. So I pray right now, Lord God, that you would just allow your healing presence to come and bring healing and restoration, so that when we begin to remember those bitter memories, it will only remain as memories. But Father, we can live and move from it with joy and with your peace, with the triumph that we have in Jesus Christ. Today, there may be some of you who don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And you can experience his goodness in your life today. All you need to do is to invite him in prayer. Prayer is a conversation that we have with the Lord. And so if that's your desire right now, would you join me and make this as if it's your own prayer as well? In this very moment. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that through every season, you are with me. Right now, I ask, Lord, that you forgive me of sin that separates me in a right relationship with you and my Heavenly Father. And as you promised, if I confess it, you will forgive me and you will justify me. You will cleanse away all my sins. And so I receive you now in Jesus' name. Be my Lord. Amen. Amen. If you made that decision today, let us know. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to help you be established as you walk and follow the Lord every day. Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to continue to encourage you to seek the Lord, to get into His Word, and to live the life that He has promised for you to live.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.